If you're a parent who wants to learn tools, tips, and strategies to become a better parent and to teach your kids life skills and connect with them on a deeper level, then you've come to the right place. Hi, I'm Kate Godfrey, and welcome to the Authenticate podcast, where we'll discuss all things parenting, from boundaries to boredom, discipline to disrespect, and pretty much everything in between. I'm excited to support, encourage, and challenge you no matter where you are in your parenting journey and share mine with you along the way. Let's get started. Hey friends, welcome back, and thank you so much for joining me for this episode. On today's episode of Authenticate, I am interviewing Maren Crowley, and Maren is a PGA pro golfer. She is also a super smart businesswoman. She has a degree in finance, and we talk about all sorts of things in terms of business, career, motherhood, what it looks like to be a stay-at-home mom versus a working mom, the pressure that that comes with both of those, shame that kind of is on moms for many times going back to work and all the things that surround that. We cover a whole lot of stuff. We also cover how to have multiple streams of income, how to have side hustles, all sorts of things. Maren knows what she's talking about. It was a great episode. It's a little longer of an episode than I normally do by myself, but I do hope you enjoy it. And I wish we could have talked longer because there was so much more we could have gone into on so many more individual topics, but hey, it is what it is. Hopefully I'll have her back for a few other topics as well in the future, but I hope you enjoy it. And without further ado, here is Maren Crowley.
Hi, Maren.
Hello. Thanks for having me here.
Thanks so much for being here. I just for those who are listening, I just, you know, fangirled a little bit all over Maren. and talking about how I discovered her and all the fun things. And she's going to give us the scoop on all things Maren. She is, you can find her on Instagram at M.A. Crowley. That is Crowley with an E. But we're going to dive in and talk about her life, her background, what she's doing now, where she sees herself going, how she can help you on the wealth of knowledge she has in many different areas. So we'll jump right in.
All right.
So Maren, tell me about, this is a parenting podcast, obviously, and we're going to hit parenting, but how were you brought up? How were you raised? How did the way you were parented affect you as a person and now as a mom?
For sure. So first and foremost, I am an only child.
Okay.
So I think, you know, take what I say with a little bit of grain of salt, just because I know that the way that I grew up is atypical. The ironic part of it all is I will never forget in 10th grade, I had this humanities class and we were always having like journal prompts. And I wrote in
it. I remember like, journal like, prompts.
Right? So, and it was this big, massive book and whatever it was like designing your future. And I remember distinctly, and I had, my parents kept this book, okay? And I laugh at it now because in it, it says, I will never marry another only child because I want like this big family, right? Well, spoiler alert, my husband is also an only child, so there's that. make plans, God laughs. So anyway, yes. I grew up as an only child, but I do come from a big family. So my mom is one of four kids. My dad is one of five. I have tons of aunts and uncles, tons of cousins. And so I obviously was around them growing up, but on the day-to-day, it was my mom, dad, and myself and our dogs. And I will say that, you know, it's always going to be whatever God's plan is, right?
Right.
I don't believe that you have to have a specific number of children. I mean, think about all of the children that you've cared for in the last 10 years, right? So, I don't want people to be hyper-focused on they have to have two kids, they have to have four, they have to, you know, it's not okay to just have one. It's whatever God's plan is for you. And being an only child enabled me to do a lot of things that my friends couldn't, in that I was traveling a lot more. I had the, you know, I'm grateful that I had the experiences that I have, that I grew up playing golf, which obviously is not an inexpensive sport. I started skiing at the age of 3, also not an inexpensive sport, right? But it was easier to manage when you have one child, so to speak, and you're not getting pulled in all these different directions. But true. With that being said, you know, I definitely, I consider myself more of an old soul. I can hang out to this day. I can, you know, I teach a lot of kids golf, right? I work with 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds, little, even smaller. But I also can hang with 80-year-olds, right? So for me, I believe that being exposed to adults as a child, that being my circle, I don't want to use the term forced me to grow up, but in a way, I just articulated myself differently. I had different experiences than my peers. And so, you know, that was huge. And as far as how my parents, you know, disciplined me and things like that, was they treated me like an adult. And this is how I am with my daughter, who she's turning 2 in February, in that I don't do baby talk. I speak to her like an adult. She learns the proper words, right? Like, so it's not a baby swan, it's a cygnet. It's not a baby deer, it's a fawn. Like because that's how I was brought up. And one of my mom's favorite stories about me is that we were out to dinner. So I lived this bi-coastal life for a while, where I was in New York during the school year. And then I lived in California in the summer. And that's like where I learned how to play golf, yada, yada, yada. And so we were out to dinner and I ordered a steak, and my mom thought she was being super helpful. And so she started cutting up my steak into multiple pieces at a time. And I said, I was literally, folks, like I don't even think I was 5 yet. And I said, "Mommy, stop it. You're embarrassing me." Because I knew proper etiquette was you cut one piece at a time. And so different things like that, because I think so many times when we become a parent, we think that life is over, right? We're not going to get to go to the fancy restaurants that we once did. We're not going to get to travel. And I'm living proof that, you know, I'm 37 years old. And so my parents did it this way 37 years ago. And to this day, we do this with our daughter. We've taken her traveling. I mean, she's been from the Keys to Maine, not once, but twice, right? Like, she's been up and down the East Coast. She's been to Texas. She's been to St. Louis, Missouri. Like, she's been all over. We still go to all of the nice restaurants that we like. And that's learned behavior. She went to her first polo match at 5 weeks. And I believe that we can't insulate children. We need to expose them to the world. And that is how – that's learned behavior. They learn how to act in those settings. And my parents definitely did that for me. And I'm forever grateful for that. And that's what I'm doing now for my daughter.
Yeah, I love that. I couldn't agree with that more. And I'm glad that you're using the term learned behavior. I think it's so true. I know when you interviewed me, you asked this, you know, how I grew up. And I do have a sibling, except he's 11 years older. So I essentially grew up as an only child, because when I was 6, he was, you know, 17, exiting high school.
Right.
And my family, we traveled a lot as well, even including Europe and, you know, in the United States. So I did have that experience as well, which was a wonderful gift. And I spent a lot of time with my parents' friends. So they were all their age or even older. So I learned many of those same things. You sit and you learn how to talk to adults, or you sit quietly and you listen to the conversation. You learn etiquette and how to conduct yourself and all that, which is probably why I went into, you know, long-term care, social work. Because it's natural and normal for me.
Exactly. And you've literally, same thing. You've worked with, you know, kids who are 5, 6, 7, 8 years old and people who are in their 80s. You know, it's like it's the same thing. You can have a conversation and you can find something relatable. So I just think that's so important.
Yes.
And I do think
It is.
Travel is very important. And when I say yes. travel, this might like trigger some people, but like, I don't mean Disney World. I mean exposing your children to different cultures, different foods, yes. different countries, foods. Different languages.
Like, yes.
Yes. That's so important. They need to see how the rest of the world is living.
Yes.
Because they need sometimes a reality check. And I just think that traveling does that. It's so much more like experiences over things. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yes.
How many toys does your kid need? I mean, half the time they want to play with Tupperware anyway. So it's like, what are we doing?
In a cardboard box.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Right. No, I couldn't agree more. Yeah. That's awesome. So how did you... You mentioned you lived in New York during school year, mm-hmm. California in the summers. How did you become, I know you said you played golf. How did you become this Class A PGA professional?
Yeah. So my dad worked on Wall Street and kind of knew the importance of golf and what it would be like for me growing up. And I don't want to say because – there's no one, and I can say this like my hand to God, like there's no two people that I honor and love, like, and my husband knows this too, like it's Jesus, and then it's like mm-hmm. three-way tie between my husband and my mom and my dad because they're my best friends. Like I do everything
yes.
with them. And my parents, my relationship with them is very – I mean, it's unbreakable, right? So I wanted to emulate them. And so if they said to me, hey, we think this is a great path for you, okay, like I believe them. And so I was involved with piano. I didn't do like basketball or volleyball. Like my talent and skill set was in golf, which, you know, individual mm-hmm. sport. It does have some team element to it, but it was mainly individual. And so my parents got me involved and I played from the time that I was a child. So I've been playing since I was like five, but then I was the youngest varsity player on my team, in seventh grade. And I played all throughout high school. I played Division I golf. So I did that for 4 years, all while balancing getting my finance degree, and I was also a resident assistant. So like I've always worn a lot of hats and kept busy.
Yeah.
But then I, with that being said, I had my finance degree and I graduated in 2008. So that's when everything in the market just absolutely tanked. I'm literally yes. sitting trying to get jobs at these places like Lehman Brothers, Bear Stearns, which no longer exist. And when I say I'm interviewing, you know, life's all about who you know. This isn't like I'm, you know, going into the city and like sitting in a line with a bunch of people we're interviewing. Like I'm literally in the CFO's house because of my mm-hmm. dad's, you know, connections, yada, yada, yada. And they're just like, Marin, the shoe is about to drop. And yeah. we would hire you in a minute, but you just got to know this is what's coming down the pipeline. And sure enough, everything imploded. So from there... I'm like, all right, well, what am I going to do? You know, I'm a worker bee at heart. Like I'm an entrepreneur. I love working. I love earning money. And I take that from my parents because they're the two hardest working people I've ever met in my life. They came from nothing. When I say poor, I mean poor, like don't have a shower, sharing beds. Like, you know, I know a lot of people right. use that term like, oh, I didn't have any money. And I'm like, but did you not have heat and have right. to share a bed with like two of your siblings in an attic? I don't know about right. that, you know? So my parents, I was very inspired by their work ethic. So I wanted a job. So I actually, my former coach at my school was let go. And I got a phone call to be, you know, would I be interested in the job? Well, I said, why not? I took the job. I was the youngest D1 coach in the country at the time. I literally just turned 22. And I started coaching my friends. who like a month earlier I'm at happy hour with like drinking, you know, pitchers of Miller Lite with. And now here I am, I'm disciplining them and saying like, why weren't you at practice?
Right. Yeah.
And I did.
Right. Right.
I did that for 8 years. I was the head coach for 8 years. And in that interim, I just decided that, you know, I've done golf my whole life. My husband, my now husband, he was entering the PGA program, and we both started working at country clubs, private country clubs. And so it just made our lives a lot easier to be on the same schedule. Cause when you're a golf professional in the Northeast, it's a very weird situation. You're working every day for 6 months and then you're off for 6 months. So we were doing, you know, that kind of schedule. And it's the type of thing where when you're in that industry, you have a skill set that not everyone has, right? Because obviously golf's a very difficult sport. As a female, like there's very few of us. There's even less like PGA professionals. So like my certification is the same as my husband's. I made sure of that. Like I didn't want the female classification. I wanted to be seen as an equal to my husband if we were going for a job or something. So anyway, I entered the program. You know, you have to do all this book work. You have to pass a playing test. I just got involved with the country club life. And, you know, when you work for these high-end people, you know, we're talking like billionaires, right?
Wow. Yeah.
And you're just exposed to, once again, different conversations and different levels of wealth. And I find it very inspiring. I believe in power of proximity, but also it's the type of job that they always want to get better, right? And they need a teacher to help them get better. And even when the economy is in the trash, like it is right now, those people, they're not affected like me and you. So it's a job that still provides and it still allows you to work because you know the income will still be coming in because this is part of their day-to-day. It's part of their schedule.
Okay. Yeah.
Right? Like
makes sense.
In between canasta and, you know, pickleball, right? They want a lesson or, you know, they want to get better and then they have grandchildren and they have, you know, their wife just retired, you know, and now she wants to learn. So there's constant flow of people who want to learn the game. And to be quite frank, because that's how I am, there's a constant flow of income. So you don't have to worry about running out of people who are ready and willing to learn. Like it's there. So it just became very, very eye-opening to me that I'm like, okay, I can use my background with where I've traveled, my finance degree, and have conversations with people. Like I had a lesson today with a woman and, you know, obviously she's never played golf before. I'm teaching her, yada, yada, yada. But a lot of it is conversing with them and making them feel comfortable. And we were talking about Hawaii and like where we've been on Hawaii and yada, yada, yada. Like just having that in common and being relatable elevates you as an instructor. So I've taken all of my experience growing up and I'm able to translate it now into my job, which is huge.
That is huge. I love how you married all of that together. Like it just, it melded and it melded at the perfect time and you were wise in when you made decisions and how you made decisions. I love that. So how did you...
You always have to pivot.
Always the pivoting. Always with the pivoting. And so you've been married for 16 years. Is that correct?
8, but we've been together for 16, yeah.
Oh, been together for 16. Okay. I know I saw that 16 somewhere. And so you decided at some point 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago, I guess, that you were going to retire, so to speak.
Yeah.
And you were going to make time to have your first child. And like you said, she's going to be 2 in February.
Yes. 2/22.
2/22. So what sparked that? You know, what, you're an older mom.
Geriatric.
And I see. I'm not using that word. My mom was 34 when she had me. Yeah, so this is like, that's normal.
Yeah.
Normal for me. So,
same.
You know, that's when you had your daughter. Mm-hmm. So was it intentional to wait so long to put your career first, or did it just happen like that? And what made you want to, you know, stop working to really focus on your daughter and be a stay-at-home mom?
So, yes, all of that. so basically,
which question answer first?
So basically, in my industry, okay. So first of all, it's a male-dominated industry, and not. So that's the first thing. Then, if you really narrow down the focus, and then you focus on the females, not many women have children and still teach.
Okay.
With that being said, and I do mean this like more in the Northeast. So right now I live full time in South Florida, but we were going back between Long Island and South Florida. I mean, we've only lived here full time in Florida 2 years. So call it like 14 years, 15 years, right? It's just not a thing. Okay. And so for me, I was definitely building the career. And then, like you said, I was creeping up to that age where I was kind of like, like maybe it won't happen kind of thing. And my husband and I, before we ever even got married, you know, and this is no judgment on anyone who does go this route, but for me, it was God's plan, God's hands. Like he knew, I said, you know, I'm never going to go through an IVF treatment. Like, thy will be done. And so my husband knew that, like, you got to be okay with marrying me and knowing that we may have no children. We may have, well, we won't have 12, but you know what I mean? Like, you just have to be okay with that because
right.
I think that's really important because eventually your children do leave the house and you're left with your partner and you got to do the rest of your life with them. So
yes,
we were on the same page with that. And we really, like, we crushed it. Like the first, you know, few years of marriage, I really wanted to travel. I wanted to live our lives. I wanted to just embrace being married. And then as I was getting closer to 35, so like once I started hitting like 33, 34, and I really started diving more into, like, I've always been super holistic with my health. But I'd made the decision. I was like, I really just don't want to be on this birth control anymore. Like I've had enough. And so I got off of it. And so that was in 2020. And then, so everyone knows what the world was like in 2020, right? So then in 2021, January of 2021, market was phenomenal. Interest rates were, you're stealing practically. We actually bought a home with the idea that in the next year or two, whatever, that would be our permanent home. Like, we knew we wanted to be in Florida full time because down here, work-life balance is so much better than up in the Northeast. Down here, I'll give you a perfect example. I went in at 9 today. I left at 3:15. That's unheard of up there, okay? I have 2 days off a week. Like, I basically, I don't want to say I'm making my own schedule, because I'm not. I'm definitely there, and you got to make money when you can, especially in the winter when everyone's down here, it's in season. But at the end of the day, like, where I'm at, and I'll get to this later, like, it's very important to have that work-life balance. And it doesn't exist in a lot of the areas of the country. But my husband and I knew that's what we wanted. So we bought the house in January. And in June, we found out we were pregnant. And I was shocked, to say the least. And immediately, like within the 2 weeks of finding out, two things pushed us to move. Okay. And one was obviously the baby and wanting to learn how to become a mom, because it's not for the faint of heart. But two was during that time, the vaccine was rolling out and there was a lot of pressure from my job to get it. And with not too many details, the long of the short was, it was either take the vaccine or you don't have a job. And I was like, well, mm-hmm. I'm not taking the vaccine, period, but I'm certainly not taking it when I'm pregnant. And mm-hmm. they kind of let it slide that I was pregnant, because they knew, like, hasn't been tested really on anyone, but let alone babies and all that. So they let it slide, but the writing was already on the wall for me. I'm like, nobody tells me what to do. And so we made the decision that we were going to move to Florida full time. And the ironic part is there was another club that I interviewed down here when I got down here in the fall, and they wanted the same thing. Once they found out that I wasn't, which they found out from someone in the grapevine, I was like literally hired and fired within 48 hours. And jeez. I just said, like, all right, God, you want me to be at home. And so, sidebar, while I've been teaching, just so everyone knows, like, I've been an entrepreneur for 10 years on the online space. So I know Kate was like, oh my gosh, like, I found you on Instagram. I've been social selling on online for literally 10 years. Network marketing, affiliate marketing, I have my own offers, like all of the things. And so for me, mm-hmm. I was like, all right, I have multiple streams of income. I've been building up this like nest egg, so to speak. I have the ability to be at home and focus on this and focus on becoming a mom. So that's when I decided to stay at home. And I've been with home. I was home with her for 20 months. And then I was home before she was born. And that's what I was doing on the side while I wasn't doing golf.
That's awesome. I love that. So smart. And then the multiple streams of income, building a nest egg, and then it came in handy when you needed it
mm-hmm.
and could make that life choice when it was the perfect time for you. That's awesome.
Exactly. Because I know some people feel like they made that choice and because they didn't have one, because they didn't have an option. But for me, you know, and like I said, there's no judgment. You got to do what you got to do. But that was a line that I was just not going to cross. And so.
Yeah. And I completely respect that. We are kindred spirits in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So you've been at home for a little over 2 years now. And now you are back teaching mm-hmm. at the country club full time. Mm-hmm. So you're doing the working mom thing and, you know, kind of similar to my story a little bit, because I was working full time, but yet I was still home with my kids. But now I'm really like in the nine to five kind of thing. And, you know, working during the day, you just have the evenings kind of thing. So I'm getting that. So how is that new balance for you, especially since your daughter is so young? What is that looking like for you?
It's hard, you know. I think it's harder for me than it is her, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because, so she is at home with my parents. So my parents take care of her, which I am so grateful for, especially, I don't want to say especially for my dad, because it's equally important for my mom. So my mom was a teacher for 45 years. And we always joke, like, the only first day of school she ever missed was when I went to kindergarten, and she took off the first day of school, and I just like waved at her. I'm like, bye, mom. And my mom's like, I took off for this. Like, you know, but she's like, I didn't want you in therapy when you're like 30 that I didn't go to your first day of kindergarten. But, you know, my mom, that was her livelihood. That was her life, nurturing children and being in that environment. And so for her, when she left teaching, I know it was very difficult. It was not an easy decision by any means. But being at home with her granddaughter now and teaching her, like last night, she wanted to show my husband and I that she taught her how to hail a cab, like a New York City cab. So she puts her arm up and then she says, taxi. Like, she learned that in a day.
Oh my God.
Right. So like, my mom likes being able to nurture her and, you know, be that teacher for her, so to speak. So it's kind of like leaning into that skill set. And then my dad did travel a lot when I was small. So, you know, we did a ton of things together, of course, but this is enabling him to relive me, so to speak, and see it from a different lens. And so the three of them are thick as thieves, but it's definitely hard, right? And the first week was challenging. I felt awful. I had a ton of guilt. But at the end of the day, you know, my husband and I talked, and it was like, we want her to grow up with the same opportunities that we had. And at the end of the day, whether people like it or not, money makes the world go round, and money enables you to do things, and money enables you to experience things. And yeah, wouldn't it be great if we could all win the lottery and stay at home with our kids and bake sourdough bread and, you know, like never have to
work? That'd be amazing.
Right. But it's not reality. And I think that's one of my biggest gripes is Instagram and social media. There's a really big shame factor on moms who, couple of things, maybe they want to get out of the house. Like, I'll be real with you. Like, you know, when you're at home all day, every day with your kids, it's a blessing. It is amazing. But it is, as you know, all the emotions. And
it is work.
Yes. And then, you know, I'm trying to build a business online and support that. And then also, like, so you're working two jobs, right? And so sometimes you need a break. Then there are other people who, you know, maybe they're really freaking good at what they do. And, you know, they can make and monetize it. And they have to do it by leaving the home. But guess what? Mm-hmm. That's what pays for little Sally's piano lessons. That's what pays for little Johnny's, you know, karate lessons. Like, it takes money, and not all of us have, you know, one of two things. Some people are totally okay with living on a farm and, you know, making their own bread and never buying anything for themselves. Okay. I'm not one of those people. I like nice things, right? That's just me, right?
Right.
And I believe I deserve it because I work really hard for my income and I should be able to spend it how I want. And whatever. Mm-hmm. Kudos to you if you don't want to buy $125 Lululemon leggings. Bless. Like, maybe I do, but like, there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. But guess what? I got to make money in order to do those things. And on the flip side of it, a lot of the women you see online that are, you know, talking all about spending time with their babies, well, you have a husband that is making buco bucks to support you to do that. And it's not to say my husband doesn't work hard, because 100% he does. But in our industry, it's taken both of us literally almost 20 years to get to the jobs that we have that are like apex jobs, you know? And so it's taken a lot of blood, sweat,
and tears.
It's
not an overnight thing.
No.
Right.
And
right.
So like, I feel for women who are on social media, because it's very hard to not get caught up in the comparison game and look at these other moms, and the amount of shaming that is going on is disgusting. And I did a podcast episode. It was almost like a journaling, like diary form for me, but I did it when I went back to work, and it's entitled "You're a Good Mom." And it's a conversation that I had.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I didn't listen to it, but I saw it. I'm going to be checking that out.
Well, my friend Ashley and I were talking. My friend Ashley is a mom of three, and she's a full-time nurse. And I was explaining to her that I'm going back to work, yada, yada. And I just feel like I used the term. I said, I feel like I failed her, Ash, like that I'm not at home, you know, like these, like I go online and I feel like this, the biggest piece of, you know what, because I got to go back to work. Someone else is raising my kid. That's the one you hear all the time. And she's like, Maren, you didn't fail her. You're not failing her. You're showing her what it's like to have responsibility. You're showing her what it means to get dressed up, you know, and take care of yourself and do your hair and look nice for work. You're showing her what it's like to, you got to be on time for work, right? Time management. You're showing her that you are a worldly person and can have all these different conversations with people. She's like, you're showing her so much. You're showing her responsibility, like, that she wouldn't be able to experience just by you sitting at home. Now, granted, when I'm sitting at home, I was doing work, but your kid doesn't know the difference between you scrolling on your phone to find a trending reel sound, and which is work, right? Like that's part of what I do, work.
Yes, yes.
And you dinking around watching like videos of Highland cows. All your kid sees is the phone in your hand. They can't differentiate. Yeah. And one of the things that I can say that I've definitely noticed, and she told me, she's like, you're going to realize this. Like, I know you can't see it now because at the time I like was literally starting work a couple of days later. But she's like, you're going to appreciate the time that you're with her more. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I get home, like, listen, when you're with your kid all day, you're going to be on your phone. Like, you just are.
Yeah.
Like, it's a long day from 7 a.m. to 9 o'clock at night, right? You're going to be on your phone. and you get no breaks in the bathroom, like nothing, right? But when you get home, because you haven't seen your child all day or since you left him that morning, you're not going to pick up your phone, right? You're going to be more present with your time. So that's been a very eye-opening thing for me. Tomorrow I'm off, so it's family day, and Nick happens to have off as well. So for me, I really won't even show up on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I used to be the type of person that I would have all the dots on top, right? Because I was filling in my day. Now it's like, no, I want to be present with my family. So I want to encourage women all over that do not have the guilt that a lot of people try to put on you. I do believe you do have options, and I do believe that you should have multiple streams of income. And that is what enabled me to be at home for that time period, but ultimately to live the life that I want to live and provide the way that I want to for my family, I have to go back to a job that I'm very successful at. Not to say I'm not successful in those other arenas, but work smarter, not harder.
Yeah, it's all about perspective and how being in a different phase or different season of your life, you know, you're like, oh, I didn't notice that before, see that before. I've heard people talk about it, but now that you're experiencing it, it's a whole different ballgame.
Mm-hmm.
So I like how you said that. And I do think, I mean, this is a whole other topic we could get on, but it's different for women than is for men.
Everything.
Men don't have the guilt, they don't have the shaming. It's because it's just, you know, everyone talks about gender roles, but it's still assumed that the man's going to go to work and the woman will stay home, or if they both work, he'll probably make more, you know, just all the things. But then most mothers are still having the housework, the majority of the child rearing, all of the things. That hasn't really changed. And I know mothers are more nurturing, but, you know, it's just.
Well, even in the job place, you know, you tell people you're pregnant and you might as well tell them you're dying of cancer. Like they look at you like you're a leper. Because what I've realized in my own situation, and then friends of mine who, and it's not limited to the golf industry by any means. You know, I know this happens in any industry where you're a really good employee. You kick butt at what you do. You make a lot of people's lives easier. You're well-liked. And then you tell them that you're pregnant. And the first thing they think of is, well, how's this going to affect the rest of us? How long is this chick going to be gone? What is her mood going to be like? You know, maybe when you do come back postpartum, it's like, well, what do you mean you're going to be pumping at work? What do you mean you need a break? You know, like, and that's just the reality. And it's not right.
Right.
You know, and if you look at Europe, they don't roll like that.
Completely different. No, they don't. They support their women.
They support
the families.
100%. And, you know, don't get me wrong. There's a couple of big corporations in the United States that do that. You know, I have
a few
friend that works for LinkedIn, and he has a ridiculous amount of paternity leave for, you know, himself, and they have a great insurance plan and all that. But like in Europe, I mean, postpartum, they give you 12 to 15 months, not 6 weeks.
I know.
It's wild.
I could talk for hours on that one.
You know, and it just needs to, it needs to change, because the fact of the matter is,
it's so slow.
You're losing. You would have more women kicking butt in the industry and like still helping your companies, your whatever it may be, thrive if you were, you know, more accepting of this. And because what ends up happening is, and I'll never forget this. So this, I was teaching at my old club and no one knew that I was pregnant except, well, my boss did, because I had to tell him, because I was getting just berated about the jab. And I finally told him, I'm like, basically the only people that knew were my parents, my mother-in-law, and him. Because I was like, listen, I'm just telling you right now, like, and he supported me and he's like, no, this will not go down. But I remember teaching this woman and she was super, super successful. She worked in finance and we were talking, yada, yada, and she asked me if I had kids. And I said, no, not yet. Meanwhile, I'm pregnant talking to her. I'm probably like 6 or 7 weeks pregnant. And she said to me, you know, you seem like a really smart girl and you've done a lot. You know, she obviously, we were chatting about my background. She's like, I just want to let you know, work will always be there. But the clock starts to run out on when you can start your family. She's like, and I promise you, because this was a woman that like, she was in finance, then she like was with her children, and then she, you know, once they went back to school and all that, whatever the timeline was, she went back into finance because she was so good at what she did. She was running hedge funds. So obviously male-dominated industry, you know, just all the things. And she was just like, I just need you to know, like, you'll never regret doing it, but you will regret not doing it and like putting your work first. And I'm like sitting there laughing, like twirling the golf club, thinking in my head, oh lady, if you only knew. Like, I'm just trying not to throw up on your feet.
It's so
right now.
True. So, yeah.
But it's
so
it's
wise. It's true. Yeah.
And my chiropractor, I'll never forget, she said the same thing because she has 3 children. She's like, Maren, you know, because one of her gals who was working on my baby, she was in there, she didn't have kids. She's like, I don't know if I want to have kids. And she's like, I said this to Maren, I'm going to say it to you. You'll never regret having them, but you'll regret, like, there's a chance that you'll regret not having them. Like, once you have a child, you can't imagine life without them. But if you don't take that leap, there is a chance that you will regret making that choice. And I was like, that's true.
Yeah. And it's just different for women than it is for men entirely. Oh, all right. So sort of switching gears-ish, you talked about your financial background. So tell me about what made you want to start this. You're on Instagram and you talk a lot about making, keeping, spending your money. Where a lot of other people are just talking about how to save it. And we know that America knows how to spend it. So tell me how your approach is different, why it's different. We'll start there and then I have more questions. I don't want to
So
lob too many at you at once.
So I've always kind of gone against the grain and done things differently. I'll give you a perfect example. In my network marketing company and in most network marketing companies, so it's not mine that's like unique to this, but network marketing companies, they get you – and full disclosure, this is not hating on network marketing. I believe that network marketing is a massive tool. I think it's phenomenal, okay? Yes, there are some people that do it wrong and are icky and send hey girl messages and all that. I don't roll like that. I don't teach anyone that, you know, works with me to do that. But just know, like, it's a massive opportunity, and don't let like a few dinks that do it wrong like scare you away from it. But one of the first things that I did when I joined is I learned the compensation plan, because the way that network marketing companies are designed is they get you hyper-focused on recognition, right? Chasing the t-shirt of the month, chasing rank, chasing all these things, and rank doesn't pay your bills. You have to learn mm-hmm. how to maximize the compensation plan. And that is something that I learned right out the gate. So, you know, I may not be the quote unquote face of my network marketing company, you know, the popular Instagram ones or the ones that are, you know, in the, you know, the, even some of the workout videos that we have, but I'm also in what is called Legacy Club, which is for the top 0.01% earners. You can only be in that club if you've earned over seven figures. And I did that years before a lot of these other faces of my company did, because I learned how to max the compensation plan. And so all the tools that I learned in network marketing, I'm like, okay, there's other things that I love besides working out, right? Like I'm multifaceted. And so I believe in that. I believe that you shouldn't be just whatever brand you happen to align yourself with, whether it's the company that I'm with, or if it's, you know, slinging shampoo or essential oils, whatever it is, like you're more than that. You have more interests. So I really started expanding into affiliate marketing. And like, it was very natural for me because I've built a trust with people online. People know that I do my research on things. I don't just, you know, there's people out there who will promote something to you just because they're getting paid. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that. I think it's gross. And we live in a world now where when I first started network marketing, you could throw up a post like, want to shed 10 pounds by the end of the new year? Like this post. And like people would flock to you. It's not that easy anymore. Right. Like there's a lot more noise out there. There's so many more options. Social media in and of itself is different. People have been burnt before by like just different opportunities, different people. And so their guard is up. So you truly have to build trust. And so what I did is I was like, all right, well, what else do I like that I can monetize, you know? And I just started looking around my house. And there are so many products that I use that I'd reach out to the company and be like, hey, you ever think about having an affiliate program? Yeah, sure. Like, and so you talk about the things you're already using, whether it's, you know, certain vitamins for your kids or a red light therapy device you happen to love, whatever. And you're talking about it because you naturally use it and it aligns with who you are as a person and your brand. And so I started monetizing. Now, the thing is, that's the, you know, the earn phase. Well, keeping it is just as important because it doesn't do you any good to have money coming in and money going out because life happens.
Right.
Right. Like I literally got canned from a job because of a health decision, right? Mm-hmm. So I needed to have a plan B. And so for me, I've always been saving. So before I really had, you know, all of these incomes streaming from online, like I always had a Roth IRA. Then once the income started growing, I started building a SEP IRA. And if all of this jargon, you're like, what does this mean? Don't worry, I got you. Right? Like I just started, you know, I really started investing. Like even my daughter, you know, she's not even two. And every month, like she's in the Florida prepaid program, her college, like that money's going mm-hmm. into that. Because I don't want her to turn 18 and then us be like, oh, well, we've done nothing for the last 18 years to help you get through it. Like, we can't just like willy-nilly and hope because you have two parents that are golf professionals that you get a scholarship. Like, that's not how the world works, right?
Yeah,
you got to earn it. So I believe in keeping your money and being smart with it. But also, with that being said, because you mentioned this before we started recording, like there are people out there who want you to literally be buried with your money. And it's silly to me. Like they don't ever want you using credit cards or that. Now, listen, obviously, if you have an issue with spending, well,
that's different.
That's different. But at the end of the day, these, you know, it's all about discipline, right? And you have to be disciplined with your saving, and you have to be disciplined with what you're doing with your money. And so when you're using the credit card to your advantage, I mean, I told you how much I love to travel. We travel on points.
Mm-hmm.
We went to Almorada for Mother's Day. It's all on points because I use my credit card like it's a debit card. And mm-hmm. I pay it off in full. But,
yes.
you know, you can get cash back cards. So it's learning how to take care of your money that way. I believe mm-hmm. wholeheartedly in setting up a mutual fund. You know, if you are in the workplace, taking advantage of a 401k, and I know that's a hard pill for a lot of people to swallow because they're like, well, what if I don't even make it? Like, what if I die at 40? You know, and then I had all this money I could have used. Well, guess what?
What if you didn't?
Chances are you're not going to, okay?
Right.
Spoiler alert, like, God's got you. Second of all, you're probably going to have a spouse that you would like to mm-hmm. pass that on to. And then you might have a child that we like to pass that on to. So it's not just about you, homie. It's about the legacy of your family, right?
Right.
So, yeah, does it suck to see money coming out of your check? For sure. But it's not about you. It's about the future of your family. And not only that, some of these companies you work for, they'll match it, right? Like you put in 6%, they'll match you at 6%. You know, mm-hmm.
It's a long game.
It's a long game, 100%. And yeah. then when yeah. it comes to the spending piece, yeah, people are on there. They love, you know, on Instagram, they love to try to, this is the new fad right now, like buy this course and learn how to have passive income. Buy this course for $500. And, you know, I only work 1 to 2 hours a day and I've made thousands of dollars. Well, that nonsense ticks me off because you're trying to teach someone how to like shortcut success. And there is no shortcut mm-hmm. to success. Everything that mm-hmm. I've earned True. Is blood, right. sweat, and tears for the last 10 years. And you, Sally Sue, promoting your $500 course when you have 100,000 followers that you've built up for over a decade doing what you've been doing, like, of course you're making that kind of money. But random Betty over here who has 200 followers, she's not going to make the same income. She's actually probably going to spend mm-hmm. more money than she's going to earn. And then she's going to mm-hmm. be so jaded by the experience, yada, yada, yada. And so
they count on that though.
Oh, 100%.
Because I've been that customer, even just starting a podcast, doing all of the things. Mm-hmm. I drop some cash on the course and then there's other things I've bought and then I still need to implement. But, you know, life gets in the way and you're like, oh, you spent this much on the course, so you better get on that or it's just going to be wasted money.
Right. And so, they get you looped yeah. in like it's the yeah. freaking Scientology. You got to keep buying the books. Keep
I'm a marketer's books, dream. Yeah. I feel you. Yeah. That. Thank God I have a husband who's like, honey, let's think about this. He's been very supportive. But yeah, I see exactly what you're saying. There's no shortcut
no.
to success, but they bank on those people who are like, oh, okay, yes, take it all.
Right. And so when you're spending your money as a business owner, you know, and you're earning 1099s and things like that, like you get put in a different column for expenses. And it enables you to take advantage of certain things that, you know, if you have a W-2, you don't, right? And so mm-hmm. for me, I'm to your point about if like my team who does my podcast, that's mm-hmm. a write-off. Right? It's part of my business. It's how I grow. It's how I network. It's how I market myself. I write that off. If I go take a photo shoot because I need content photos, write off. If I have, you know, my marketing team that helps me with my emails, boom, write off. And mm-hmm. so I teach people how to do this. And the reason why I'm so adamant about not just taking a course is because courses are they're generalized information. And if I'm being very honest with you, all of that information you can find on the internet for free. The yeah. difference between what I do as a mentor compared to someone else is it's personalized. So I'm teaching you, okay, Kate's needs are going to be different than Maren's needs, than Sally's needs, right? Your niche is going to be different, how you're going to present mm-hmm. yourself, market yourself. you know, what platform are you performing the best on? Is it Facebook? Is it Instagram? Right? Like, okay, what expenses did you have in your family, you know, come up or, you know, compared to mine? Like, whatever it may be, like, everything has to be unique and different. And I also put it in a group setting because I believe that people learn from one another, and that's also how they network. Like, think about us. We've reciprocated on podcasts. Like, it's all about networking. And so my program, it's a 90-day program, and there's three phases where you're taught how to earn, keep, and spend. And I want people to be able to check all three of those boxes and feel like they can take all the information they've learned and, yes, of course, you know, apply it to whatever their current job is, but also learn how to monetize online and create another stream of income for themselves. I think that is so important because there are endless ways to make money online. I mean, heck, people are, I don't promote this, but people are selling pictures of their feet. I mean, come on, like, you can do anything on the internet these days.
That's true. And I love the out of the box thinking. I like how you broke each of those things down. I think it's very digestible and relatable for a lot of people, even just, you know, like you said, I look around the house, see what products I use. And then, you know, I reach out to the company and
and
ask if they'd want to be affiliates. And they say yes, you know, some may say no, but that's genius.
Right. And I, just so everyone knows too, like I told you, the information, there are going to be people out there who charge you for like that basic information. And I don't believe in that. So part of my 2024, it's actually like getting rolled out now. It just is getting finalized. Is I have a guide, a free guide that is teaching people how to become an affiliate. It's showing you the type of script, you know, to send to someone. It's teaching you where to find opportunities, all the things. And then obviously I have my course, and I'm using air quotes when I say course, because it's truly one-on-one group coaching. And that will be rolling out too. So if people want more information on that and get on a wait list, that's marincrowley.com/90 days. So people have that information. And I believe in providing, like, I'm not charging people for content that they can research on themselves. For me, the elevated mentorship comes from the one-on-one. And that's what you should be getting. I don't care if you work with me or, you know, Tom, Dick, and Harry, like, some, if you are paying and, you know, they'll try to convince you it's only $497. Like, that's a lot of money, homie. That's a car payment. So, like,
that is a lot of money.
And for you to spend, just round it up to 500, for you to spend 500, you dang well better have earned 1,000, because otherwise you're in the red. So,
yeah.
Agreed. So with that being said, like, you better be able to ask that person questions and get a response. You better be able to, like, get some of your own specific questions, needs, all the things answered. And if you're not, red flag, do not purchase. I'm telling you. And guess what?
That makes
when you do have a mentor and you're building a brand, it's a write-off.
Yeah, that's true. Even all the things that you said, I was like, oh, that could have been, I could be doing that, and that could be a write-off, because I'm doing everything myself right now, like all the editing. I do all my own emails. I do all, you know, all the things while working a full-time job and raising kids. So, you know, it doesn't go as fast as I would like it to sometimes, but it's just me right now.
Yep. And I get it. So, and sometimes you got to do that
one step at a time
in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then you got to kind of evaluate, okay, what's something that takes a lot of time of my day, because I only have 24 hours in a day, that I can pay someone to do, that does it a lot better than I do, does it a lot faster than I do, and
time for money.
I can write it off. Because time is the only resource that you can't get more of.
Right.
So
that's genius.
You need to.
I may have more questions when we jump off here. Oh, all right. So what, there's just so much good stuff. What is a takeaway from everything we've talked about that you want people to know about you, about maybe your career, your parenting, your perspective on life, finances, all of it, some of it, one thing? What is your takeaway for them?
I would say discipline and work ethic. You know, those are the two things that I learned as a child, and that's what I'm trying to instill in my child. That life is hard, but anything worthwhile is worth working for, and you got to have your discipline over your feelings. There's going to be days you don't feel like doing it. There's going to be days that you want to quit. There's going to be days where it doesn't feel like it's happening fast enough, but you just got to keep going. You know, it's the type of thing. It's like, yeah, you always want to quit something when it's a bad day. But when you get a win, ask yourself if you're willing to quit. Chances are no. Because no one likes to lose. Everyone likes to win. But to become a winner, you got to lose. You got to lose a lot. So I just think that people need to be more disciplined with their work ethic. And I think it all ties into how they manage their time, how they manage their health. I'm a big proponent of great health. It is a must in our family, which is why I initially aligned myself with the network marketing company that I did. Because I believe in fitness, I believe in good nutrition. So, and that's why all my brands that I represent are holistic. You know, it's all about promoting longevity for your family. So you want, you know, money's great, right? But it's not worth a dang thing if you don't have your health. So the two of them go hand in hand, and you got to make sure that you're serving both of those platters. You can't just chase the money and neglect your health, and vice versa. Like
100%.
Let's be real. To have good health, sometimes it takes money, right? So they go hand in hand.
Very true. Very true. Perfect takeaway. I love it. Thank you so much for talking to me today.
Oh, no problem. This is great.
It was great. I think everybody's going to get so much out of this. I'm already like thinking of other, you know, interviews I could do just on the finances. And I'm sure my husband like, did you ask her this? Did you ask her that? So maybe it'll be a co-interview if you're available again sometime, because I'm sure he'll just launch questions at you. but I had so much fun.
Likewise.
Thank you. If you're listening, you can find Maren at marincrowley.com.
Correct.
And M.A. Crowley on Instagram. Anywhere else we can find you?
Those are the two best. And then I have my podcast, the If You Know You Know podcast with Maren Crowley. And that's on Spotify, iTunes, or you can find it on my website.
And that is a great podcast. She covers all sorts of things. And we didn't even get to discuss the whole health thing, because I know that's also really important to you. And that's super important to me, but there's just not even enough time. So maybe we'll hit that sometime too. Great. But thank you so much for your time.
No problem. Have a great night.